Good to be back. Make sure those tray tables are up and your seat backs are in the upright position. Yost, how we doing?
Good, man. I'm doing pretty good. I recently ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon, so I'll let you know.
Yeah? Which one? They're going to come at the same time.
Yeah.
They'll be there tomorrow.
Yep, 2 days shipping in the exact same box.
Yep.
So.
Nice, man. Well, yeah. I'm excited for the pod today. We got a lot to talk about. I got back into the real world last week after kind of being Quentin Quarantino. So it's good to be back.
Heck yeah, man. Good to have you back. The world needed you.
Yeah.
The world we had needed engineered.
I got lots of stuff to get into. Maybe a little sneak peek. So I wanted to mention the simulation theory. And then my experience yesterday down in Colorado. I had a funny story that popped into my head about moving cars in Laramie back in our college days.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had all kinds of interesting stuff. I don't know if you want to sneak preview any of it.
I'm going to pull it right off the rip. I'm going to jump out, and then right before I hit the ground, I'm ripping the topics.
All right. Well, then let me give a shout out to today's sponsor, and then I'll let you dive right in. So today, episode brought to you by the Johnson & Johnsonville vaccine. Inject a little bratwurst into your life.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Speaking of the vaccine, I last time we talked, I was double dose Yost. I just went ahead and got a triple dose. You know, I just went in and said, "Give me my third." But I bring that up because they're talking about potential for a booster shot a year later, which. Like, I've kind of stuck myself into this situation where I probably won't have to get it every year, even though I've never gotten the flu shot. So, I don't know. Whatever. I just think it's funny that some people are losing their minds like, oh, you're going to need a booster shot a year later. It's like, yeah, that's kind of how flu shots work too. But
for
if
sure.
if you believe in vaccines, which clearly I don't. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Not really a big week here in the Yost Mansion. We've been doing a lot of stuff with the baby as far as like training for the Olympics and stuff, basically. But just getting her to like roll over and stuff like that.
And, got her the little Tykes powerlifting set.
Yeah. She's PR'd at 250 already. I was gonna say kilograms, but that's still heavy.
That's a ton.
Micrograms. Yeah, the Yost Mansion grass is getting green. Gonna have to start actually getting outside mowing the grass here soon, I think, which is going to be nice. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're not there yet. It's I bet it comes fast, though, because we got some actual warm temps coming finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been cold and kind of miserable for the last couple weeks. So.
Yeah, we're 60 degrees today. Not yet, but we will be 60 degrees. And yeah, we're just kind of cruising, which is nice. Like, I'm ready for the weather, you know?
I'm ready for some spring. I'm going to go ahead and tell you about yesterday because it's got me really ready for spring. So yesterday, we were just sitting around having our morning coffee and we were deciding that it always seems like it happens to Brandy and I both. And I'm sure everybody's had this experience, but you know, you're just chatting with somebody on a Friday and they're like, "What are you doing this weekend?" And you're like, you know, absolutely nothing. And everybody else is like, "Oh, I'm going and building a homemade plane and skydiving." Yeah. And also building the runway for the plane. And it's just like, everybody's always doing something.
Yeah.
So we're like, we better actually do something today. So we did. We went to Colorado, hit a couple stores, and then we actually went and hit Top Golf.
I know. I saw that. I was jealous.
It was the first time. I'm not going to lie. I was a little like, as a golfer, like, do I take my clubs in? And right. First time being there, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to be like the tryhard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did not, even though I took them. Turns out it's super chill and a ton of people did it. And
yeah.
So next time for sure, I'm going to do that, but it's awesome. It's super fun. They've got like heated bays. So if it's cold out,
where were you at?
Warm, just north of Denver in Thornton.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had one there.
It's pretty new. They built it maybe, I don't know, 12 or 18 months ago.
Nice. Yeah. I've been once and it was a barrel of monkeys, man. It was a good time. So.
Where did you go?
It was in, was that in Colorado? No. It was in Vegas.
I heard the Vegas one is wild, like different than all of them.
I think everybody could put their own spin on them. You know what I mean? like, it's like you open one, but then you could put like, you know, your own decorations and stuff like that.
But ours was
like a place like that. I mean, that was like when we knew we were going, we booked then to go to do Topgolf. Cause it's like, there's no just like walking in getting a spot.
Not at that one, which yesterday we did the walk in and got a spot, but
classic.
It got busy. And then when we left, I think you wouldn't have been able to walk in. So yeah, reservations probably needed, but it was damn fun. I mean, even for Brandy that isn't a huge golfer, but you know, likes to do it. And I think I saw it more.
I saw the score. You absolutely obliterated her.
Well, we just went into practice mode. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we just hit shots, as many shots as we wanted, and didn't really do a game.
Did you have any food?
We did. We had lunch there, had a couple beers. It was awesome.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Definitely recommend it, even if you're not a golfer, to check it out. I don't know. That might be the closest one to you, if you were to drop.
Yeah, maybe, I'm sure.
I don't know if there's one in Montana or not. I mean, we do have the internet. We could probably look.
There might be one in Sioux Falls.
Oh, maybe.
Sioux Falls. Yeah, there is. Oh, it's called a Great Shots. I don't know what that is.
It's a knockoff. That's the Kirkland brand?
Yeah, it's the Great Value. it looks like it's coming, though. So, yeah. But, yeah, it is a great time. And it was like, even if it's like decent weather for it, like they just have everything figured out. Like it's a good experience. Like whoever came up with that is raking in the money.
It was, I mean, they put a lot of money into those facilities because I'm pretty sure, well, actually I have no idea why I'm pretty sure, but I'm pretty sure there's like underground machinery and equipment so that they have to do very minimal like ball retrieval, and things like that. And they might even be in the Colorado area. They might even be heated. So that they're not covered with snow.
Could be. It takes up a ton of freaking space too.
Oh yeah.
You think you could blast one over the back net?
Oh yeah. I was hitting four iron into the back. Their four iron into the back net.
Yeah. That's like the only thing I've seen some funny videos where people are just absolutely sending a piss missile over that back line.
there was like a auto parts distribution warehouse right behind the back net. Nice. I was like, guarantee. And we saw some balls in the parking lot. That's a shank and a half.
Yeah. So I've seen videos of people like falling off into the nets and stuff like that, like launching their clubs. Yeah, just
it's you'd
just
be chaos. Surprised. We got the ground floor, which it was fun. And next time I think I'd like to try an upper deck one just to see, but you'd be surprised how many just balls just like trickle over and land right in front of you.
I'm sure. Speaking of upper deck, have you ever upper decked somebody?
No, I haven't.
So for anybody that doesn't know, an upper deck is where you take a poop in the tank part of a toilet, like a residential toilet. And every time they flush, they get poop in their bowl. I don't think I have. Because the logistics of it confuse me. Like I don't know. I definitely could just like get into position and do it. But there's just so much, like, I don't know, like my feet on the toilet or on the lid or the uncertainty
Or do you straddle the tank? Like a motorcycle seat?
I could probably stand up on that bad boy. Not like, I could do a stand poop. But I'll tell a story speaking of that. And I've told this story to anybody that's known me, this apartment in Laramie, but I wish I could remember the guy's name. Anyways, we had this really crappy apartment in Laramie when I first moved there, North 19th. I think it was like 1170 North 19th.
Sounds right.
Yeah, and it was a shithole. Like, the apartment itself wasn't bad, but because living with John and Nick and myself, we just trashed that place. But anyways, we were moving out. We, like, the carpets were horrible. The kid, you know, everything was just destroyed. We were moving out. And we had a little bit of stuff left over. So we were doing trips back and forth and we came back after one trip and it smelled like it was like overnight. And we came back and there was like, it smelled like absolute dump in there, like a landfill. Mm. And at this point there wasn't much left. We were just going in there to kind of clean up stuff to get our deposit back. Well, our landlord, who was a large fella, like horizontally, he he always had complaints about us. He was always coming over, getting complaints. We were always asking him to fix stuff, and he never did. Like, he was just a slumlord. And I want to say his name was Ed, but I'm sure it wasn't. Ed might have been the Joanna Bruner guy. Now that I think about it. But anyways.
Oh, that guy had a weird name, too.
Yeah. So we get to the point where we're getting to clean, and this place smells like a landfill. And, you know, to push through the story a little bit, I discover that the day before I had cleaned my bathroom in my room, like my room had its own bathroom. So like my room is now smelling like horrible shit. So I was like investigating. Well, I looked and the landlord had stopped by because he said he was going to, and left basically like a Taco John's ground beef shit in that toilet that was in my room and just left it. And here's the weird thing. Like, I didn't see any toilet paper. So I don't know if he just like, I don't know. Either way, he took a dump in our toilet and then left it. And it felt like a big middle finger to us. So we just like left. We didn't even clean 1 inch of that place. I left the poop in the toilet and we just walked out. We lost our deposit completely. He called us like so mad. And I was like, tough shit. So, but that's the time I wish I would have like had access to my toilet before, like clean up the place really well and then do an upper decker while he's showing it to somebody else, you know, that'd be great.
That would have been prime time.
And the crazy thing is like every apartment I've ever lived in, I've taken really good care of. Like when we moved into the house after that and then Joanna Bruner after that and then the various places, like I always did a great job cleaning. We always got our deposit back, you know, and all that stuff. But something about this guy just like rubbed me the wrong way. So I have a lot of stories about that guy too. But
yeah, but either way. That's what happens when you, I have a suspicion that when you landlord for a bunch of college kids that ends up being a party area.
Yeah.
That you just kind of get, not saying that guy was a kosher dude, but you just get kind of like over everybody and everything.
Oh yeah. He didn't have a property manager. He was just like the owner and manager. So he was like more hands-on than other places I've been where you just like call the owner and they send like a maintenance man.
Yep.
He was the guy that would have to do it himself. So of course nothing ever got done, but yeah, either. But that's also the thing. That's like part of the college experience too, is like, you're going to have scummy landlords. You're going to live in crap apartments. Like, I think that's part of the process of college. Like if I were to live in a great mansion that was my own during 4 years of college, like it would have been trashed because of partying. But like, you kind of learn to like live with like, oh yeah, I have to step over these pizza boxes because there's like a turd in there that we just haven't thrown away yet.
I remember just random secondary apartment story, that apartment story that I have. I remember one night, I don't know if we were just playing video games and taking turns, but all like four, you three and I was sitting in that living room.
Yeah.
And people were playing video games or something. The rest of us were just, you know, shooting the shit. And at a certain point, Nick and I decided that it was a good idea to try to shoot the light on and off with airsoft guns.
I do remember that. Yeah.
And it actually happened.
Oh yeah. I remember that. I do remember
that. It wasn't like a flat panel toggle. It was like an actual switch.
Yeah. There's so many random things. Like Nick's room had holes in the wall from playing video games. Like he'd get mad and he'd just like kick a hole in the wall. And like, John had dumped a bunch of oatmeal down the kitchen sink and then it like turned into cement and they almost had to like replace the whole plumbing in there.
Plus he made like popcorn from actual kernels like every day. So,
oh yeah, dude, that's the reason. The reason I can't stand popcorn is because of John Ludi. Because like growing up, even when we were in high school, they always had a bowl of popcorn laying around and it was like, it was always cold. You know what I mean? And they would still eat it. And I was like, whatever. But I can't stand the smell of popcorn anymore because of John Ludi. Cold it was corn. All, there was, He would even like suck on the kernels. The guy would pour milk in it and eat it like cereal. God, what a psychopath. Freaking Jeffrey Dahmer would be like, dog, that's too much.
maybe this is a good time since we're talking about Laramie days to tell you my Laramie car story.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I had this thought. I was driving back this morning from just grabbing a few essentials at the store. And I was thinking there was a moment in college when I think it was after I graduated and I needed an oil change pretty bad in my car.
Yep.
And somehow, some way, I got word that the Honda dealership was looking for volunteers to come help them shuttle cars like across town to like a big open field so that they could do like a President's Day sale or who knows, you know what I mean? Yep. Like they needed to move like all of their cars to this other lot for like a weekend.
Yep.
And so they said, if you come do it, you'll get two free oil changes. And the, you know, the value was $80 a piece. So $160. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like me. I need an oil change. Right. And it gives me an opportunity to drive a bunch of cars. So I showed up, I did it, and I drove a couple cars, you know, Honda at the time didn't have anything like super cool. I drove like a Honda Fit when it came out and probably like a van. And I don't know, there was probably 10 other people.
Yeah. I remember there being a lot of people.
So anyways, I did it literally only just to get the oil change. And I remember the last car I got dropped off. I took my car up to the dirt lot to figure out how to get the gift certificate or the credit for the oil change or whatever.
Yep.
To talk to the one dude that was, you know, doing all the organizing. And I think he just was like, oh yeah, they have your name at the dealership. And I was like, cool. I wasted my time driving up here. Was coming back into town, got a pulled over and got a speeding ticket for like $80. I was like,
that's funny.
Really? Not only did I like take away the value of the car washes, but I actually have to pay money out of pocket now that I didn't have.
Oh yeah.
Frick.
Dude. And like, here's the thing. You in that car, you had a police, a radar detector. And it, like, I just assumed you never got pulled over because of that thing.
Like, I pretty much didn't. I think it was just like, he like pinged me when it went from 45 to 30.
Yeah.
Like literally just was standing behind the sign.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Oh, I was so mad.
Yeah. I just remember that radar detector going off all the time. Like you'd pass by like bank security and it'd be like,
I got a new one now.
You're a radar guy. You love finding radars.
Yeah, don't try to hide from me.
But it's like illegal, right?
I don't think so. Some states, but not here.
Okay, I was gonna say,
I'm pretty sure it's just like frowned upon here.
Yeah. I just figured it was like you get pulled over, you just hide it real quick or whatever.
I usually do, because if they see it, then you're getting a ticket if you're like 2 miles.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I've been really looking into dash cams lately for Carly's car. Just because why not? Casey's got one and he's had to have it save his ass a couple times, but he's also a psycho behind the wheel. So I've been looking into stuff like that, but I've never needed a radar detector. So
it just is like extra insurance. Like I was down in Colorado yesterday and we're driving and we're following the flow of traffic and, you know, at a certain point you're going 78 and a 75. And then the next time you're getting past and you're going 88 and it's just like, what the heck happened? And then you're literally hard on the brakes to a dead stop. And it's just like, I don't want to be the guy that's trailing the pack at 88 and then just somehow get picked out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I'm the same, like I'm the same way, but I don't drive in like big areas that often. So like, you know, 75 to 80, like here to Rapid, if you're going 80 and a 75, like most of the time you're okay. Especially because I'm in a soccer mom vehicle.
Yeah, so that's
they're
true. They're
not going to pull me over because I'm not in like a sports car or anything like that. So
I'm in the sweet spot for that right now because my car just looks like a normal sedan.
True. That is true. I was thinking the other day, you know, trying to eliminate, I personally have solved the problem of interstates, if you've listened to old episodes, making everything enclosed. So that's done. That's off my bucket list. They're working out the details now with Biden. But I'm trying to come up with a way of making traffic stops safer for everybody.
I know.
And what do you tell me?
Like basically the situation, like I just said, on how you are going 80 and then you're slamming on your brakes.
No, I meant like you get pulled over by the police, how to make that situation safer.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think you just listen to them, follow their instructions, and I think you're okay.
Well, potentially don't be black either, but but I was thinking is you like it's going to be something with like Tesla, right? They're kind of the forefront of all that stuff. Basically, the whole transaction is done without anybody leaving their car. Okay, stay with me here. Cop pulls you over. There's like they have some sort of thing in their car that they have to flip it on, and then you have to accept it. That basically keeps both cars from moving. Does that make sense? So it like deactivates both cars, but you have to accept it. So there is still the potential fun for a car chase. But when you do that, it also, all the information, like your little camera in your car turns on, the camera in their car turns on. So you like have a split screen of each other. Then your insurance and your license and stuff is digital. They get that stuff. You guys are just talking, bada bing, bada boom. If you get a ticket, it's printed through your thing. If not, you're on your way. Never have to leave your car.
Yeah.
That's it.
Definitely would improve safety in a lot of ways. I mean,
because even on the cop side, like I'm nervous when I see a highway patrolman pull over somebody on like the interstate.
I know. Like,
that'd be terrifying to get out and have a car going 75 by you, even though they're supposed to slow down and get over. But then at least they're still in there. And, you know, if gunshots start popping off, you're in a bulletproof car, you know, nobody's going to, you know, all that good stuff. So I don't know. I don't have to workshop it. That was it.
Yeah.
So I solved that problem. Check that one off.
If it was just a simple like speeding or failure to stop or registration or something. Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see you know, pulls up behind you and you have a little Zoom call and he decides whether or not to give you a ticket. In that situation, I think you're getting a ticket every time because there's no humanizing, you know, between.
Well, and the potential for it is like, you know, somebody blocks their camera. You know what I mean? Like they put a thing over their camera. So, because it's like the same idea with laptops, like block your webcam on your laptop just in case somebody hacks it and catches you friggin' eating Cheetos off your belly at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You do the same thing in your car.
Yep.
So people can't just access it. So then that could be like considered, but then if it's something more serious, like boom, your name comes up with a warrant or whatever it is, then like, okay, now your car's immobilized and you can call in for backup. And then, and then all backup is because remember we're inside the enclosed interstate, a giant magnet just that's on a rail above the system flies over your car, picks you up, rails you to the police department.
It sounds like a Minority Report or something.
It does. Yeah, it kind of does. Also a joke there, but we'll let people figure that one out. So that's, you know, I'm solving the world's problems, Todd.
I'm fine with that. Let's put it out there.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know how to transition to anything, but I was coming up with a new podcast idea. Okay. And it actually has nothing to do with me. I came up with this for you. But I don't know yet. So the idea is, Todd, you invest in really nice like lapel mics that hook onto your polos. Okay. You get 2 or 3 of them and you don't need a camera, right? You just need a thing to lapel mic and then a place to record it. You go to golf courses because we were talking about how you kind of enjoy playing with other people. You go to golf courses, you obviously ask the people's permission, and then the people you're paired up with 18 holes is now on your pod. They're a guest on your podcast.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And so you either are talking golf the whole time, or you have a specific 18 questions, one per hole, that you ask and you discuss as you go through each hole.
That'd be pretty cool. I've met some cool people. I've met some super dull, like duds too, but...
Right. But so, you know, so 18 holes, 18 questions, ruining a good walk, chopping sod with Todd. I don't know what we're calling
it. I like that one.
But I think that's $1 million idea.
That's not bad.
Because then it's you get to golf and you get to meet cool people. Even if they're dull, you know, you can still like ask them. If you're asking them questions, they can at least like chime in a little bit.
You can also in between, you can kind of commentate what you're doing, how it's going.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. Or not. Or you could just like turn them off until you're ready to have the next chat on the tee box.
I think, the problem is so like a regular game is 4 hours.
Yeah.
So you almost have to like only edit it down or only record when you ask questions.
That's true.
In that conversation. So, because each hole takes what, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, depending on the speed of the everybody else and all that.
Yep.
So, yeah, you'd have to break it up a little bit. But then just think like the one time you get like somebody really cool on there and they're like a CEO of Tesla and you're like...
I played golf with a guy one time that was like whatever the highest level of stars in the military is. I think it might have been three-star general or something.
Okay.
And he was a retired like three-star general that was basically like, you know, the top of the top level in the army or something.
Oh, yeah.
dude had some crazy cool stories. And then I'd be like, well, how did this, you know, what about this other thing that this story? And he'd be like, I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
Like at everything. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. That's cool.
He like was involved with sending satellites to space, like in the '80s. And it was nuts.
Yeah. That's crazy. Speaking of space also. Yeah. Like that should be, you should do your, if you do a solo podcast, that should be your podcast, Chop and Sod with Todd. But speaking of space, I got this email the other day from the Air Force base over in Rapid. One of the generals, I don't know anything about ranking. So if I'm offending anybody by saying the wrong title, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know anything either. So I could have said the wrong thing a minute ago too, but
right. But he sent a thing saying, look, like normally we try and meet with kids that are interested in joining the military, especially the Air Force and stuff like that. But since we can't, I'd like to zoom in with your class and I'll do a presentation and all that stuff. And I was like, sure, dog, let's do it. But he's actually actively recruiting for Air Force and Space Force. That's pretty cool. I want to see the presentation just based off of the Space Force stuff.
Like, that is crazy.
Like most of the recruitment's coming from the Air Force, from what I understand right now, the initial recruitment, and then they'll start doing their own thing. But like, I kind of want to join. You know what I mean?
That'd be like, awesome.
I don't know exactly what they do. I don't think people are just floating in space. I just picture people floating in space, like anchored to a giant, like stationary object. And I just have like a laser gun in my spacesuit and I'm just like floating and patrolling my like 20-foot space in space. Just
space.
And then there's a guy like next to me doing the same thing. We're just like alternating going back and forth, but we can only cover like 20 feet at a time.
Damn.
That'd be hilarious. So
nice. So I gotta put a button in this because it's actually kind of interesting. 4-star general or full general is the highest rank achievable typically in the U.S. Army. There's only been 246 in the history of the Army.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Is it just a time thing? Like you could get there after a certain amount of time, or it's like you have to do some pretty crazy stuff.
I think you have to do some crazy stuff.
Huh.
And that's based on zero information at all.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can do crazy. I can definitely do crazy. So I have a challenge for you, Todd.
A challenge. I'm always game for a challenge.
Because you like to move. You're a mover. I'm not a mover. I want to know, do you think you could run 100 miles in 24 hours?
No.
No, I feel like you might be able to.
All right, let me see. Let me do the math. So.
So if you run a minute, if you run a 8-minute mile,
or wait, 100 miles?
Yeah, 100 miles. I can't remember where I saw it on Instagram, but I saw like the challenge of if you could run 100 miles in 24 hours, you would win like $100 billion. Could you complete the challenge? Like, what's 100 miles from you right now?
From me?
Yeah, like a town.
I don't know, but about it'd be like walking to Laramie and back.
Okay. So running to Laramie and back in 24 hours.
I don't think I could do it because I'm just looking at the math here. You got to average about... No, I did that math wrong. Hold on. Bear with me.
Engineer struggling with math.
I still think it's tight. That's a little over 4 miles an hour for 24 hours. And the average walking pace is 3 to 4 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Because there's probably really no room for any sort of break in there. Unless you just absolutely sprint the first 50 miles.
It would be fun to try, except it wouldn't be very fun. Because
I was going
to
say, it would be zero fun to try.
I'd have but to if get paid a lot to try. Let's say it.
So let's say this. 100 miles in 24 hours, guaranteed $100 billion. You get it done, you get $100 billion. Everything under 100 is that amount in billions that you would get. Anything under 50 is zero. Do you still try it?
Oh, yeah. I'd go right now.
Do you think you could make 50 miles?
I could make 50.
Running?
Yeah, running and walking. I can't run for 50 miles straight. But
okay. So you think you could get, right now, you could get to Laramie by 10 a.m. tomorrow?
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you definitely could. That's not that bad. Because then that's $50 billion.
Yeah,
you're like one of the richest people in the world.
I think everybody would try, wouldn't they?
Well, you'd be stupid not to try. I'd be honest though, Todd. I'm power walking that. I'm not running that.
I'd probably try it for like $5,000.
Really?
Yeah. Why not?
That's ballsy. $5,000. Like, that's not even life changing.
Yeah, but I mean,
it is, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you might need $5,000 worth of surgery.
That's true.
Your hips will be exploded out of your body by the time you're done.
I don't know. Like a long, long day on the golf course. Like, I'll easily have walked like 10 miles.
Yeah. But I mean, think about that hill going down into Laramie, trying to run down that thing. Or even walk down that thing. That's a gnarly hill.
Yeah, that'd be brutal.
I think you get to like, you get like right outside of Laramie to like where the industrial kind of section is, and your legs just lock up. you can't finish.
Oh, I'd be crawling.
You just army crawl to the finish line. And then that'd
be tough.
So then you get there, you hit the 50 million, right? And let's say you've got like 6 hours left before the 24 hours, you have to just go and see how far you could get. Cause that's just addition on top of all that. So, and then watch you're like literally 1 mile away from getting back to Cheyenne. And you just like 99 billion, I guess I'll take it. I rode a bike once 77 miles for $20.
Yeah. See, exactly.
And I'll be honest, like that was way, I don't think I could do it now, to be honest. But like it was way easier than it even sounds, because we stopped every 5 miles for drink and snacks. You know what I mean? Like there was no like insane pace behind it. Eric and Matt Hiska would just drive up in his freaking giant Blazer. And I just pedal up. I have my headphones, and I just pedal up to them, and then I take a drink, eat some snacks, and then we did that the whole way. So shout out to those guys for freaking doing that on their day off.
No kidding. That'd be a long day.
So a couple things happened during that trip. It was John's dad's bike, really old bike, because I didn't have one of my own. Probably the second hill, the gears went out. So we're talking like right around the turnoff for the Three Lakes. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
That hill, the gears went out. So I only had the smallest and the largest. That's all I had. So that was kind of a nightmare. And then I almost actually got hit by a car because I was changing songs and I drifted into the lane and all I heard was a honk. So I could have died.
Jesus.
And all I had was like one of those giant, like, sombrero looking things to keep the sun off of me, no helmet or anything, like no safety stuff. And then as I'm getting into Riverton, I most of the time I'm on the side road, right? There's really nothing. There's like no sidewalks or anything around. So I'm on the side road, that little shoulder. And I get into Riverton and I hop on the sidewalk and my leg locked up and I almost went down in the middle of traffic. Like, and then I had to stop. I stopped like right in the middle of town where that big movie theater was. And hopped in with those guys because I couldn't move my legs anymore. like they hurt so bad. And then we went and watched a movie. Like Mike had met us there later in the day because he thought I was stupid and didn't think I was going to make it. I think I bet him. So we went and watched a movie. I fell asleep within the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Jesus. Like I was. That's what you need to do, by the way, after riding 77 miles is sit in a movie theater for like 2 hours.
Yeah. And you know,
and then drive for an hour back.
Hold on. Automated airplane movie. I got to think of the name of this movie. Airplane, no. Stealth. So Stealth was the name of the movie. Jamie Foxx, Jessica Biel. It was like these pilots. There's a new robot plane that was going to fly with these pilots and it ends up going haywire and trying to kill everybody. That's the movie we watched. And I haven't seen it. I paid money to go watch it and I slept during the whole thing. So...
I feel like it's not, that wasn't a huge miss. I don't remember ever hearing about it.
It had Jessica Biel in it. So at the time it was like, yeah, why not watch it? But
yeah,
she was always in wife beaters in her movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Every single movie, not complaining, but she just always was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think I'm doing 100 miles at all. I don't even think I could get 100 miles in a week. Like, I'm so sedentary, Todd, that like, if I'm like, sometimes roots are growing when I sit still so long. So
20 miles a day, or even less if you go 7 days.
Well, yeah, you gotta go 7 days.
You could definitely get 20 miles a day.
We do need to, me, you, and Jim to spark up the Apple Watch competition 1 week and see who's better.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I already know who's gonna win, but
probably Jim.
I think it would be Jim. He's nuts. He's a mover. He's a mover and a shaker. You are too, but like, Jim's nuts, you know? Jim hasn't gained a pound since he was born.
That's true.
Like, I just think about it, like, the kid is still rail thin. Shout out to Jim and his metabolism.
The Duke of Oil.
Oil Duke. I'm gonna chuck one right at you real quick, and then we can hop into your simulation theory.
Okay.
Have you ever faked your birthday?
I've had other people do it, like at restaurants.
Yeah, that happens.
I don't think I've ever done it.
I've done it once.
What were you getting out of it?
It was a free dessert at Old Chicago.
Okay.
Because what had happened was, it was pretty close to my birthday. I think it was like a couple weeks, right? And on your birthday, if you're you know, Old Chicago member, you get like a free pizza on your birthday.
Yes, you do, a full size one.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, like I was broke in Casper, and I was like, I'm gonna go do this. And I was by myself. So shout out to last week's episode, going to restaurants by yourself. But I was sitting at the bar, right? So I wasn't super, super lonely. But I remember I didn't order a beer because I was like, if I order a beer, they're gonna see the birthday, then I can't pull off the scam. So I didn't order a beer, I just got a water, and I was like, hey, do you guys do specials on birthdays, right? And she was like, yeah. And just like a free pizza or whatever. And I was like, nice. And she was like, well, let me see your card so I could verify or whatever. And I was like, oh, I don't have it. Well, what about your license? Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm not that hungry. I'll just do a regular meal. And I was like, can I get a dessert? And she was like, yeah. So I got a free dessert out of it, but she didn't need to check for the dessert. She did need to check for the pizza. So I didn't feel great about myself, but but still, shout out to Old Chicago. We're getting one in Rapid. Oh. I love Old Chicago.
I like. I really liked the one in Gillette. I'm not a fan of the one here in Cheyenne.
Really? Yeah. The one in Gillette was nice.
I don't know if I ever went to the. Maybe went to the one in Casper once, but
yeah, we went a few times. It was kind of a dungeon. Sometimes you get those restaurants. It's like. It doesn't have a very cheery vibe to it.
Yeah, and just like so the reason I like the one in Gillette is they just do like way better deals for happy hour, and their food is always consistently good. Yeah. And down here they like basically do no deals, and then their food is like 50-50. It's going to be terrible. So
yeah, man, living in the capital has no benefits. Sounds like
I know.
There's just no closer, benefits at all.
Closer to. Others like closer to Colorado and Laramie and stuff. But
and here's the thing I'm going to throw out there without any research at all. Most, if not all, no, I'm not saying all. I'm going to say most capitals are in the center of the state besides Wyoming. How's that feel? Sit on that. I mean, feels good to me.
I would say that a lot of them are nowhere near as close to a border as Wyoming, for sure.
Right.
Like, we're literally, like, I don't know the actual number, but probably, like, 30 miles, 25 miles to the border.
Yeah. Let's see. Why are most U.S. capitals not the largest cities? Yeah, it wasn't the largest city when it started. I feel like I nailed that one, but I don't know. The states usually pick central-ish locations over population size when deciding on their capitals. So legislators and citizens on the opposite of the state wouldn't have to travel quite as far. Some states, the largest city happens to be the capital. So, dang. Look at me go.
All right, so I'm looking at a map. Okay. Oregon's not very central. Washington's pretty central. California's is central, but it's long and skinny, but it's central in the skinny part. obviously Cheyenne's way down there.
Yep.
It might be one of the closest to a border, you know, just thinking about it.
Easiest
other than
to,
like, other than when you get over into those tiny East Coast states.
Right. Easiest to invade, you know?
It's true.
But I also don't want, you wouldn't want the capital to be in Casper. That's a sketchy area.
Yeah. It's, I mean, can't get more central than that.
Right. Throw it in Dubois, you know? Throw it in the ocean. Anyways.
Talk about landlocked, man. Couldn't be any further from the ocean. Maybe Nebraska.
Right. Well, depending on like growing up though, like if the only thing you've ever seen is a lake, your parents could definitely lie to you and be like, yeah, that's the ocean.
That's a good point.
Dude, I was actually thinking about that the other day. So I was talking to Carly about it. If I were to talk to my child in only an English accent, would when she first started, would she have an English accent?
That's a good, well, you'd both have to do it.
True. And would it be as busted as like mine is? You know what
probably.
I mean? Like mine hilarious. Is, mine's awful, but like, you know, that's just what, cause like it makes sense that would happen.
Yeah.
If we only talked in French in the house, then yeah, she would speak French.
Yep.
So if I talk with a British accent, she just first words are, hello, mum. I'll take a bottle of water. You know? Yeah. So I'm very tempted to try it. I'm not going to lie.
That'd be a commitment.
That'd be a long play for sure. Cause kids start speaking at what, like 8 months to a year.
Yeah. I think they'll have some words at like a year, like, you know, no or yes, or maybe mom right. and dad.
I do know that we're going to try when she's like older, we're going to start doing American Sign Language.
Nice.
Yeah. And I don't know how to do it. So I'm just going to watch YouTube videos.
Speaking of fooling your kids, I still work with a guy, but he's up in Gillette. He had two daughters, and there's a couple power plants in Gillette, but there's one that's right off the interstate, yeah. And it's always putting up like just heavy, just steam, but yep. like it's very like thick white steam coming off of these stacks.
Yep.
And they used to always drive to South Dakota, and at a certain point, one of his daughters would ask, you know, what that is, and he would just not answer, and then one day he's like, oh yeah, that's the cloud factory.
That's
and,
amazing.
And then they thought that until they were like eight.
Heck yeah, dude. That's like the best. That's the only reason to have a child. So you can warp their reality into whatever you want. It could just be Thanos and just, yeah. That's funny though. That's a good one. I'm trying to think if there's anything that like, I mean, there's definitely things I stumbled onto that were completely wrong, but they're just like things you learn, being on the back of a bus or sitting with a bunch of teenage boys looking at magazines. But like, I can't think of anything like specific like that where it was like, I thought that's how this worked for the longest time, you know, but
yeah, I can't think of anything, I guess.
But my initial views on how women got pregnant were wild. Speaking of that though, and like jumping into that real quick, there was I remember watching a James Bond movie. I have no idea which one it was. And I was like little because I had no parental supervision. But I remember watching a James Bond movie, and the evil girl in the movie like was seducing an older man. And this is like my first glimpse into sex, let's say. Like I'm pretty positive. And they were doing their thing. Of course, it's like a movie, so you don't ever see anything, but it's like implied. And in my little brain, I'm like, meh. But after they do it, the guy dies. And so I was definitely under the impression that like that's how sex worked at first. Like you just died after you had sex. But turns out like watching it later down the road, like she poisoned him, his drink kind of thing. But I remember like specifically thinking like that was kind of just what happened. And if you didn't die, like you were lucky.
Hmm.
So.
Is that, that's like, the that's how bees work, I think.
I think that's how like most, like, isn't it praying mantis? Like. They kill the male afterwards, or black widows or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess there always is a chance that you die during sex. It's just probably not as high as what I thought it was, literally a 50% chance.
Coin toss.
Yeah. All right. Anyways. Yeah. Let's jump into what you were. I don't know if I know what simulation theory is.
You don't.
Are you saying I don't as I don't, or are you questioning that I don't?
I'm questioning it. I would have thought you definitely would have heard about it. So
I'm sure I do, and I just don't. I don't know.
So simulation theory is the theory that the reality that we know and the everything, the Earth and the universe, is actually a simulation within a bigger picture or something like a computer.
So
we're all just living, basically, that we're living in this simulation.
Okay.
And there was really interesting, I don't know how I stumbled across it. It might have come across like from Elon Musk or something, but he did an interview. Neil deGrasse Tyson's done one in the past, but they talk about how the advancement of technology in our lifetimes has, you know, it's been so great that even if you were to take the growth as it is now and assume a very, very small increase, not very far into the future, there will be a point where you can be put into a simulation with virtual reality that you can't tell the difference between real life and the simulation, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And so the fact that that's possible in the near future makes the simulation theory technically possible, that we are living in a simulation.
I mean, it's definitely possible.
It's pretty freaky. And then there's like, you start to think about like all the stuff. Like basically you just say, just for fun, assume that we are in a simulation, that there's somebody somewhere, something that's built this simulation and we are all just in it. And we come to these times of peace in the world. And then we have tsunamis, or then we have plagues, or then we have, you know what I mean? There's always, there's not very many times in history where there's overall peace. And it's like, yeah, that could just be the simulation, right? We got to have turmoil to keep it interesting.
I've played a ton of games, civilization games, SimCity, like all that stuff, like where you are literally the person running the show. But also it kind of just sounds like God.
Maybe, but maybe there's there could be an infinite number of other simulations also occurring. We just don't know.
Right. So if that was true, like, how does it make you feel?
It's weird to think about, right?
Yeah,
I haven't done a ton of research into it, but I hear that there's a lot of work going on right now to try to, if to figure out how to find out if we were in a simulation, how you would be able to tell.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think the fact that it kind of goes back to the whole, when I first started watching The Matrix and thinking I was deep in thinking that the whole world we're in the actual Matrix. It's like the idea of like that we could be aware of it almost like eliminates it, doesn't it?
No, because that's what the point is, that like AI could get to the point where everybody that's created by AI could have free will. And that's what we would be.
I guess. Yeah. But then it's also like, is it free will though? You know what I'm saying? Like if I don't want to be in the simulation, like I don't have an option to just say that out loud and like be wherever I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Cause it's not, wouldn't be technically if you look at the big picture, but we don't know any different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be where conspiracy theories come from, where it's like, those are glimpses into really weird stuff, glitches in the system. You know,
there's all kinds of weird stuff like that.
Yeah. The Matrix trilogy, whether you like them or not, like it definitely made a lot of people like jump on this ship for sure.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's like, if there's genuine people running around still like trying to figure out how to be like woken up into the real world from the Matrix. Like they just run up to every black guy in sunglasses. They're like Morpheus. But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely interesting. But if that's the case, if it's all like a simulation, then like, why do we worry about anything? Like,
exactly.
Like, who cares if you get the vaccine? Who cares? You know, whatever. But
it's a different way to approach like your life, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Republicans are running the simulation. That's why they weren't worried about any of it.
Well, it's just like think about it's all the like nuanced stuff that's just like, oh, that's a coincidence. But it's like, wait, maybe big question mark that it isn't? Like, literally, the dude Anthony Weiner got caught in a scandal sending dick pics.
Pictures of his wiener.
You know what I mean? Like, what?
Yeah. Well,
and there's tons of stuff like that.
Whoever's running the simulation, stop putting fast food into my mouth. It's not me, Todd. It's literally not me. Somebody else is doing it. It's driving me crazy. I just want to be healthy.
It's definitely, there's a couple pretty good YouTube videos. Maybe we can post links to or something, but or maybe that's a good recommendation just to, like, if you want to bend your mind a little bit about it, it's interesting. Or you can completely ignore it. So it's up to you.
Well, I just think about the type of people that listen to our show. Students, you know, friends of ours and stuff like that, like
scholars, doctors, yeah,
you know, leaders, yeah, leaders of the industry, the International Space Station. But I just think, like, out of all the people that listen to the show, out of the millions of people that are listening to the show, there's definitely my neighbor's mowing, by the way, in a jacket, like a full winter jacket. Out of all the people listening, like, there's definitely people that, like, shout out to our listener, the one listener who thinks flat earth is real. You know what I mean? Like, we have to have one listener that thinks that the earth is flat.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. Also,
that is wild.
In Kong versus Godzilla,
he's a hollow earth. He lives inside.
Yeah. There, it's a hollow earth theory, which is, explain to me how there's a sun in that scene, but I don't know. But I would be more willing to believe hollow earth before I would flat earth. It just doesn't, like, we can see earth from outer space. I can't see inside of earth. So maybe it is hollow for all I know. I don't know.
It's true.
But I have seen that the earth isn't flat. I'm going to join Space Force just to prove to myself that the earth isn't flat.
There you go.
It's one of those things too, where, like, somebody just needs to take a boat and try and get to the edge of the earth. Like, that's problem solved.
Problem solved.
There, I did it again. I'm solving problems.
Somebody has done that, I'm pretty sure.
Well, and the problem with, like, conspiracy theories on that level is, like, they always have the answer of, like, oh, well, you hit the false edge. The real edge can never be seen by you. You know what I mean? Like, it's shut up. Stupid Kyrie Irving. Shout out to Kyrie Irving. I know you're listening. But yeah, if simulation theory is true, what do you think that means for when we're done in the simulation, when we die? Do you go back to the spot where you were before the simulation? Like, are you, you know what I mean? Like, I picture Inception, right? I mean, I want to say The Matrix, but it's been overdone. I picture Inception where we've been in this dream for, you know, 80 years, and then you wake up. And you're like, you know, you're like in this weird dungeon with a bunch of like 70 other people. And then you're like back to the real world.
I don't think it would work that way. If it was a simulation, I would assume that the simulation is so big and started so long ago that we are creatures within the simulation. You know what I mean? Our parents.
Yeah. Yeah. I got
and
you.
Their parents and their parents, like down we're to some time. We were born in the system.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe the Big Bang was the start of it. I don't know.
Also, one of my favorite theories for just like human existence, gosh, we're getting weird. And I don't remember the story. It's like a really long story I read on Reddit. I think it was just some guy wrote it, like just for a short story. But he like dies and then he goes and talks to God and he's like wants answers and all this stuff. And God's like, well, we don't have much time before you got to go back. And then the guy's like, go back? What do you mean? Well, like in this story, you've lived every single person in existence. Like you've been Hitler and you've been the Jew. You've been the caveman. You've been Elon Musk. You know what I mean? Like, and when we're like, when I'm like talking to you, I'm actually talking to myself like through your eye. It's weird. But either way, God is like, in this theory, God is like temporary. So once you've lived through every person's life and you've lived every struggle and every high and every low, then you become the new God and then you replace somebody, you find somebody to do the same for you. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I kind of like that one.
I mean, there's all kinds, we're going to stay weird for a minute. There's all kinds of weird, what, you know, you could say are like glitches. Like, so somebody's consciousness stayed around and then they were reborn. Have you heard those stories of somebody that like lived a life to 80 years old and then passed away? And then 10 years later, they're a 10-year-old kid. And they're like, what about, and they like can recall memories and they know people that person knew.
You know, I think I've heard of some stuff. Yeah.
So those are super weird. And then the other one that I was going to say can get weird is, you know, I've listened to lots of podcasts and stories about people doing like LSD and stuff like that and seeing the shapes of the universe and like even being able to like, I listened to one and maybe you did too about a guy that did ayahuasca and like traveled around, like floated around the earth and found his friend that had cancer and like saw those cancer black thing in his friend's body and just like took it out and then came back from this ayahuasca trip and the dude was fine, like healed.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. So like maybe there's something there that like breaks the simulation if that was true.
Because I just picture first off, I wouldn't know what to do with the information if I was like on DMT or ayahuasca and I saw the shape of the universe. Like, I don't know what I would do with that information. Be like, oh, it's shaped like a penne pasta. But the other side of it too is like, it's like when the thing I worry about with that, those stories is that now you've heard the different stories from podcasts and you know, Rogan and other people, like their experiences on DMT and ayahuasca and stuff like that. And then it just makes me think like, if you were to ever go do it, you're severely influenced by them. And like your brain just pieces together things you've heard.
Yeah.
But like, and I don't know, like maybe there is this weird spark of like originality where you can describe things completely differently. But then when you get back into your human form, it sounds the same as how everybody else described it. I don't know. But I just think like, that's the weird thing about humans. Is like there's like no level of originality anymore. Like everything is just kind of stories you've heard off of somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
And even if it's like me telling or you telling the story of moving cars and that whole thing, like maybe it happened completely different, but because you heard a story of somebody else who had a similar experience, like you just interlaced weird things into it. I don't know. It's just weird. Like it's hard to say what originally happened anymore.
Yeah, no kidding.
So if you're tripping balls off ayahuasca, you know, hit that story of him saving his buddy from cancer, like it generally just that sounds like a movie. You know what I mean? And so who's to say that didn't, I don't know, but either way, it's wild and I love thinking about it. Rogan's famous thing was like there's aliens aren't on some other planet. Actually, other life isn't on some other planet. We all live on different frequency levels. So when you take shrooms or ayahuasca or whatever, it opens up those radio stations for you to communicate with the other that are just right next to you and you don't know it. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, I heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you pop a shroom. Now all of a sudden you can go all the way up to 98.7 on the radio where like this weird creature tells you about, you know, how smelling farts is actually the cure for cancer or something. you're just like, okay, that's what I'm going back to the boys with.
I feel like as a country, we should be investigating that stuff more. We like did it in the 50s, like illegally on people. And then we're just like, we're done with that. They definitely found something out and they're like, ooh, we got to hide this.
What do you think about this, Todd? Most science experiments aren't done because of the morale issues. I feel like. Like you could probably figure out the answers to a lot of things if you just did human testing. Do you think that's worth it to like advance us even further? Do you think it's like worth risking other humans' lives to get answers to a lot of different things that we might not even know about?
Maybe. I think it's hard to say yes, blanket statement yes, but I think there are probably things that would, you know, bring value to the, you know, the society and the world. But if it's, there's so many like little things, you can't just blanket statement that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just figure you almost have to have just permission from the person and then it would be fine. But I don't, but even then people would be like, you can't do that. Even if it was their permission, they don't. Yeah. Whatever. Here's something interesting about like the ayahuasca, the trips, the LSD, all that stuff. And I think we've talked about it before where, that stuff's here's our, you know, throat in the ocean conspiracy. And it's not just ours, but where a lot of that stuff is criminalized and seen as like the devil because they're afraid of us being woke. So they give us alcohol and cigarettes and stuff like that and sugar to keep us like docile. Like it kind of goes along the lines of the government discrediting all that stuff and saying like, you're a loony bin if you are if you're having hallucinations and stuff, just so it discredits anybody who says they've had hallucinations.
It's true.
Cause like Joe Rogan, you know, the guy's done a ton of stuff. He talks to guys that do a ton of that stuff. And every time it comes out, people are like, yeah, it just sounds like two weirdos talking. Like that's just, that could be just somebody in the simulation being like, crap, we don't want more people doing this. You know, like these two are insane. So I don't know. It would be interesting to see. So like we've talked about the movie Contact before. Jodie Foster. I think you've seen it.
Oh yeah. I like it.
I watched it again recently. Probably one of the best like hidden gem movies for like space travel and stuff like that. Alien movies. In that movie though, it kind of reminds me of that, of like she goes through that little thing and she talks to her father and they talk, you know, all this stuff. But when she comes back, it was instantaneous. So like nobody believed her. And she even says like, while she's flying through those wormhole tunnel things, she's like, they should have sent a poet. You know what I mean? Like they should have sent somebody who could like write it down like even better or whatever. And I just think like, yeah, we have poets and writers who are zooted out of their mind on ayahuasca, but it sounds so ridiculous when they come back that it's like hard to believe.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. Simulation theory.
Definitely worth a YouTube video search just to like listen to people talk about it, because it's interesting and it's hard to recount all that stuff because I haven't studied it. But
right, and it's, you know, for some people it's a nice escape from reality for, you know, a day or two while you dive into it. Hopefully it doesn't like send anybody completely down the rabbit hole. But it's another Matrix reference.
makes you think like the UFOs and like paranormal stories and stuff too could be have some more basis if it were a simulation.
Well, in the Matrix, those are classified as like rogue programs or like glitches in the Matrix when they talk about vampires and aliens and stuff like that. Like it's just like a program that's gone wild, like just lost its mind. So
there was I'm gonna look it up, but there's a podcast I listened to fairly recently and it was pretty interesting. Where the heck is it? Okay, I'm not finding it. I don't know what's going on, but it was about paranormal stuff. And a guy was recounting a story of his abduction back in like Missouri in the 70s, and he was in the military. It was really interesting. I'll try to look it up here as we keep going so I can plug it. But it was an older one, like a couple years old.
Yeah. So one thing I did something weird the other day. I went to take a shower, and I brought a beverage with me. Now I haven't really been on the beer train at all lately since Carly's been pregnant. But I brought a shower dew with me, a shower Mountain Dew. And it made me think of shower beer.
Yep.
Like you've had the shower beer. We've all had a shower beer. It's insane. The hot water, the cold beer, right? It does something great. The shower dew was just as great. Double the dew, I say. But I was kind of wondering what maybe dive into it was like, what does a typical shower look like for you? Do you ever do cold showers? You know, your routine. I love taking dark showers. So like not when it's completely dark outside, but like when the sun's going down a little bit, don't turn on any lights in the bathroom and just like chill in that like twilight time.
So yeah, I want to answer your question. So just real quick before I forget, that podcast I was talking about is called Astonishing Legends Podcast. And the episode, there's a bunch, you have to scroll back, but it's called Abduction at Devil's Den. So Joe Slavik actually cued me onto that a while ago, and I just got around to it. So, but yeah, pretty interesting. They're short. They have some sponsors and things like that to keep them going and funded and things like that. But anyways, going back to your question, shower wise, I haven't for a while, but I did dabble in the cold shower a few times a week, or try to, just to kind of wake up in the morning. I don't know, trying to be better, make my life more difficult. But
right.
I haven't been doing that very much lately. So, you know, shower time's pretty like shave, shower, get out the door type of thing at this point in my life. But
yeah.
There's like if it's a weekend or if it's like I've been doing a lot of work outside and it's like an afternoon shower, I'll definitely take a shower beer.
Oh yeah. It's a good feeling.
It is.
There's a trend where people earn
it though.
You got to earn the beer, you're saying. Can't just be like on a Tuesday night, crack a shower beer.
Or just like a Saturday morning, just be like, shower beer. had your coffee and you're like, all right, shower beer time.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody that's out there doing it. Now, here's a good question for you. Do you wash your hair every time?
No.
Neither do I. Because the reason I ask this is because this could be seen as controversial. Do you wash your legs?
Nope.
Either do I. I just let the soap go do its thing.
Yeah. I love the thing that's like men's towel is like doesn't get changed for like years, and you're like like, what about you wipe your face with the same towel that you wipe your ass with? And it's like that towel forgets every day what it did the day before.
Yeah, it definitely does. Unless I'm like in shorts and I like feel a good sweat. Or like I got grass clippings or mud, then I will. But like realistically, I haven't washed my knee down in 25 years.
Yeah, I'm not getting a lot of dirt on my legs. So my feet, they're gonna take care of themselves. So.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in feet, man. You need them to be tough. Don't swaddle them by cleaning them every day.
Yeah.
Like let those things get calloused up. And cause when I was little dude, I used to run around barefoot all the time. And now I have like no problem walking on gravel and, you know, going outside barefoot and stuff like that. Like I got some beasts down here, Todd.
I want my feet to be tougher.
Well,
gotta start doing more stuff barefoot.
You do just go walk around in the yard barefoot, you know, step in a turd or two.
Dude, walking on gravel though, that's tough.
I'll say I can walk across like, you know, sidewalk, asphalt, gravel and stuff like pretty regular pace, but holy cow, every once in a while you get one that just turns a little sideways into your foot. Oh my God. Those are awful. Yeah, and I once rolled my ankle. When I would do summer rec, I would go barefoot all the time because we were just playing in the grass, like water sports, you know, dodgeball, whatever. I turned my ankle one time with no shoe on and it didn't even hurt, Todd. Like I swear the shoe made my ankle weak because it like created a place for for my ankle to like turn. And when I was barefoot, I remember like turning and then I just rolled with it. And I was just like, I got up, threw a dodgeball right into a 5-year-old's face and he was out of the game. You know? But I do remember like I jammed my toe one time, like peeled my big toe back, catching it on like a sprinkler. Oh man, that didn't feel good. It went between my big toe and my second toe and then just like cranked my big toe backwards. Oh my God, that hurts so bad.
So that's you're like probably in a field, but I was just thinking like stubbing your toe. We've all stubbed a toe and I've done it a couple times, maybe once that was really bad, but here's my question. If you're stubbing toes, you should only be stubbing like the pinky toe and maybe the one toe in. Anybody that's stubbing their big toe in a normal setting is really not paying attention.
No, I absolutely wasn't paying attention because it was like those sprinklers that are like always above ground, you know?
I'll give you some leeway on that because you're like in a field. Like I'm just thinking like in a life setting, like you're in a hallway, you're walking through a living room, or you're walking through a door, walking around a kitchen island or something. Like if you hit it with your square foot, that means you're going to hit it with your leg.
True. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I'll tell you this right now, Todd, I smash my little toes all the time, like all the time. But my little toe guy furthest on the outside is probably as big as your thumb. Not even lying. I have, like Casey pointed out one time, I have full on fingers for toes because my feet are so big. Like my toe is bigger, guaranteed my toe's bigger than Carly's thumb. For sure.
Mm.
Like I've got giant big toes or little toes. And so also
here, I have my middle or my ring toe. No, the toe next to my big toe.
Okay.
Whatever that
the
one's
middle,
called.
The middle finger of the toe.
Yeah. Is longer than my big toe.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people that are weird like that.
It's almost as long as my pinky.
Dang. Mine's my middle finger toe. I mean, I could catch a baseball with that thing. in fact, well, so like my toes are pretty like normal, but like though I actually got disqualified from a contest because of my feet strength.
What contest was this?
So they were doing an experiment in college in the physical therapy department. And basically it was testing balance on one foot. So like the base test was like going on one foot and then, you know, putting your leg to the side and then just seeing how long you could balance on one foot. Mm-hmm. So already I'm at a huge advantage because I basically have like a dinner size plate, like just flat on the ground. So I have good balance. And then they put you on a flat bottom Bosu ball.
Yep.
So the bottom's flat and then you're standing on top of the bubble. And then they test your ability there. And then they move on to tossing you tennis balls. And they were just getting like this huge database with people who had ankle injuries, who haven't had ankle injuries, like just testing. It was this crazy study they did. And so I get on my right foot, which I consider like my weak one because most of this time I'm planting with my left and doing stuff, you know. And I put my right foot on the Bosu ball. And I was balancing just fine. You know, you're making minor adjustments and stuff like that. And then they started throwing the tennis balls. And I just like grabbed the Bosu ball with my foot, like my toes. And I was locked in, Todd. I was going nowhere. I just stopped moving. I'm catching tennis balls left and right, dude. I was a machine. The guy running the test saw that I was doing that and couldn't count my data. My foot was too amazing. They couldn't count my data, so that was kind of sad.
I actually have one of the it's the home version of the Bosu ball, but just for balance. It's like a wooden one.
Yeah,
and I use that to try to work on ankle strength and all the way up, even like you know, just stability and stuff.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough not to have ankle issues.
I definitely have a weak left foot and ankle.
Yeah. Oh, you've absolutely shattered your ankle on my foot one time.
That's the reason why it sucks. And it healed like differently than it should have. And
yeah, that was a 3-on-3 intramural game, I believe. Just blew his ankle out landing on my foot.
Yeah, that would have been like if it was on TV, they would have been like, cutaway, cutaway, cutaway. Don't look at that.
Yeah. The people on the bench would have been like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. That was a bad one. I'm fortunate enough not to have too bad of ankle injuries. I just have knee, hip, shoulder, heart, cardiovascular, respiratory.
Ankles are good though.
Yeah, everything else is fine. Oh man. But yeah, so what made me think of that was the that, you know, washing your feet in the shower, bringing it all the way back. Like no, like I would love to hear of a man who's washing his from his knee down on a consistent basis.
Hmm. Yeah. And I never do it unless like you said, mowing, and I'll actually freaking weed eater, like in shorts. Like it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, dude. Chop up the shins all you need to. That's what I say. I think I love lawn work, lawn care, you know, and there's something like nice about you getting an old pair of shoes and just turning them green. You know what I mean? Blasting them green. I love that. So,
speaking of shoes, I'm gonna go to shoe game real quick. I did some looking yesterday at new shoes that are out.
Okay.
Trainers, basketball shoes, a little bit of everything.
Yep.
I'm scrunch faced. No, there was nothing good.
Really?
I'll give you I do like the newest LeBrons. They're pretty cool looking, but they're like a full on like basketball shoe. I'm not gonna buy a pair of those to just have or to wear around. I was just looking for like a daily wear or like a, you know, secondary gym shoe or everyday shoe. And they all sucked. I was not impressed.
All
brands.
Are you okay? I was gonna say, if you're not brand loyal, then you need to go get some Adidas Boosts.
I looked at them and I like some of the looks of them. But I've tried on like the older, when they came out with the NMDs, and I like the looks of those. They don't feel good on my feet. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but.
Let's see what other ones.
That was weird. Brandy said the same thing about the women's shoes. So we're in a bad spot. Shoe companies, figure it out.
Shoes and video games, man. We're in a tough spot right now. The problem is like the big thing in shoes is just making them as obnoxious looking as possible. Like they don't fit. Dude, I am tired of it, Todd. I am tired of seeing in basketball especially, but like in real life, where kids are buying, okay, our colors are maroon and white, right? A nice black, a gray, a maroon, or white. That's the only shoe options you should have. But we got kids showing up in neon green, mm-hmm. bright red, freaking blue, the other team's colors. Oh my God, I want to strangle people. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why? Make me mad, man. And then not to mention like the shoes that kids wear normally, like, you know, a pair of blue jeans with like a hoodie that, you know, they wear every single day, and I'm guilty of it too. But then like bright red Reebok shoes, you know what I mean? Like, come on, dog. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I've never been able to pick from a variety of shoes because of my shoe size. So like I've always kind of been disappointed in shoes, but there's some pretty tough shoes out there. You just got to find a good colorway.
You think there's some good ones right now?
Yeah, look up the Nike Canyon. Sorry.
All right, hold on.
If you're not buying these as soon as you see them, then I don't know what I'll tell you. Nike Canyon.
Those are horrible.
They're basically just like, they're like the old dad flip-flops, but like with a Nike logo on the side of them.
Jeez.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, shoes are, and that's the other thing too, is like kids are like, Converse were huge last year, like the old Chuck T's.
Yep.
So it's like older shoes are becoming, I mean, everything's cyclical. It's coming back, you know, so.
You know what I need? And I looked for these a while back and I was very disappointed, is I need like the Nike Low Prestige or the Dunk Lows or something to come back at a reasonable price, like at that like $69 to $89 mark, because right now they're like $200.
Yeah, you're not going to find a lot of those classics that low anymore.
Why are we not making those? They're the easiest shoes to make. I like, I can dress them up with a dress shirt, or I can just wear them with shorts.
Yeah, your best bet at getting at anything, like, what are Blazers even at lately? Like, for a pretty basic level, $100 for Blazers. Which you can get a ton of different colorways for those. Like, shoes just aren't cheap anymore. Unless you're going to buy Under Armour shoes and be an idiot. But
but even, I have the two Project Rock pairs that I really, really like. But they're a couple years old. They're not doing those anymore. And his new shoe is basically just a new colorway of the same old shoe. And I already have two pairs of those. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Trying to look through some of these here. Ugh, shoes are Nike shoes suck right now. I don't mind those Metcons. Reacts 8s aren't bad. Ooh, those Air Monarchs, dude. That's a dad shoe for till the end of time.
Oh, they still make those.
Yeah, they're $70.
those need to be worn until they start to fade, and then you just turn them green.
Yeah, with grass. The white ones are every dad in America, which I'm probably going to get a pair. The red, black, and white are like the that's like the cool, or the teacher that like wants to wear his sneakers to school one day, and he rocks those. And the all black ones are like what people wear in the kitchen of fast food restaurants. Like, it's like has to match the uniform.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's some, those Flex Controls aren't bad. The Metcons. Yeah. So I think you just got to bite the bullet, Todd, and just get you some New Balance. So I almost talked you into New Balance when I was in Cheyenne that one time. When we went to whatever that store was.
Yeah, but they were legit looking ones.
Yeah, they look pretty nice.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to get some Skechers here pretty soon.
Do it. Strap them up. Man, I think I'm out of things on the list today.
I had one other thing on there that I thought would be interesting to do, although I feel like this episode and today may prove my point that it's not, but I'm going to go through it anyways. So I thought it'd be fun to look at when we do a podcast to just do like a today in history.
Okay.
So today in history, in 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope was placed into orbit. So that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
1859, and this is kind of topical. Well, kind of, but the Suez Canal was construction began. 1859.
Dang.
That's and crazy. I know that the other canal issue was in South America, right?
Yes.
I can't remember what that one's called. What is that canal called down there? No.
Panama.
Yeah, it is the Panama Canal. That's where that was, right? Or was it in the Suez Canal? Where the guy turned sideways?
Oh, that was the Suez, yeah.
Oh, it was the Suez. It was topical. Okay. Yeah. And then the other thing I was going to say, just because we're only going to do this on a weekly basis. So I looked at yesterday in history. Yeah. This one's good. Yesterday in 1833, the first patent for a soda fountain.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. That's almost 200 years ago.
Yeah, that is actually impressive. That is weird to think how long ago that was.
Yeah. Otherwise, just a lot of like random stuff that I didn't think was that interesting.
Yeah, the one that looks, the one that'll kind of blow your mind is April 20th. You ever looked into that date?
No.
Also known as 420.
What happened on that day that was historical?
Well, there's a couple different things. Columbine happened on April 20th.
Oh.
There was an oil rig that exploded that dumped 206 million gallons of oil. I'm pretty sure it was Hitler's birthday.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think it was. And then there was one other one, but I can't remember what it was. It might have been like when like Charles Manson was born. I don't know. Let me look that up. Charles Manson B-Day. Oh no, it wasn't that one. So, but it just like, but there's a bunch of different like really bad things that happened. Even on like that whole week, like there was Oklahoma City bombing was the same week, and just like a bunch of crazy things. So, shout out to April 20th.
Yeah, so we'll see if we get something interesting next week worth talking about. Hopefully we do.
Yeah, we're gonna have to bring back our rank next week as well.
I think so.
It's been a hot minute, so.
Yeah, we'll come up with something good. I'm going to stick with the for no reason at all other than it was pretty interesting. I'm going to stick with recommending that Astonishing Legends podcast and look up the abduction at Devil's Den if you're interested.
Yeah, perfect. I don't think I have a rec this week. Ooh, I do. Wendy's. Wendy's jalapeno popper chicken sandwich is pretty dang good. So
nice.
I had to travel to Rapid to get it, but I was going there anyways, so. I kept seeing commercials. I'm a sucker for a commercial, man.
They're doing their job then.
Yeah, they've got at least one person hooked. So shout out to them for making a solid chicken sandwich in a world full of just chicken sandwich battles.
Yep.
So every restaurant's got to be in the chicken sandwich game now. So, which I'll go out on a limb and I'll say, I think it's Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A wins it.
I think so.
And I've had every single other one of them. That's available. So, including McDonald's, KFC, Popeyes, yeah, Wendy's. So,
I think it's best.
Given out to Chick-fil-A. So.
Yep.
All right, man. Anything else you got?
I got nothing.
All right, guys. Thank you so much again for listening to the podcast. We're doing our best to bring the best content to the internet that we can every single week. But at the end of the day, we're just two dudes thrown in the ocean. So, we appreciate the support. Todd, I think we're good. Always good to talk. Always good to catch up. Work on that podcast, Chop and Sod with Todd. I'll take 50%, and then we will move on.
Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Talk to you later. See ya!